You're listening to The Power of Us on Revolver Podcast.
El mundo enfrenta una pandemia. Encuentre respuestas y acceda a información veraz y confirmada en el especial de NTN 24 sobre coronavirus COVID-19. Escuche los contenidos de NTN 24 en su plataforma de podcast favorita.
Hey guys, welcome back to The Power of Us. This is Abel.
And this is his delightful wife, Rosie.
Today, we're talking about fighting dirty.
And delightful wasn't what he really meant when he said it.
No.
He was being sarcastic, so I'm not delightful, and you guys know that. And I want to be delightful, but I'm not. So the fact that he used it in a fight causes way more damage than if he had said something else. The reason we're telling you guys this is because we promised we would be real. And today's not a good day.
No, see, what goes down in arguments sometimes gets really bad. And I think when you start fighting, you kind of lose the actual fight. And then it starts getting about different things.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So anyway, what we're going to walk you guys through is an actual fight that we are in right now. It started yesterday, and today is our day for recording, and there is no other time. So as much as we'd love to leave it behind and say, hey, well, we'll do it tomorrow or the next day or the next day, we really can't. This is the only time. But two, I really feel like in our environment, whether it's the church environment, the family environment, the couple environment, you don't really tell many people when you're in an actual fight, and you definitely don't tell them the mistakes that you made in the fight. So you'll probably tell people like, oh, we got in a fight, I don't know, because, I don't know, he went out late, whatever, right? Or whatever, she spent too much money. But you'll never tell people how you fought dirty. Right. Like, you'll never say, oh, but I did this. And what I try and do is ask for help, even in the midst of the fight. And I try and be really honest about what I did. And then when I'm saying it, like, I get really embarrassed of like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. Why am I embarrassed in front of a mentor, but not in front of my husband? So we just thought that since you guys are our family and our friends and our listeners, we would be really transparent with you and just really show how we fight dirty with the hopes that we'll stop and you too. And believe me, this is really just to help you guys, to help us to continue to really be the power of us as a community and really make a change.
So fighting dirty, what is it?
Well, there are, in every relationship, there's conflict. Mm-hmm. Everyone, like every, and we're not even talking about wife and husband. We're talking about daughter and mother, every type of relationship where you have communication with people, and it can happen in your home, in your church, at work.
Right.
The cool thing is that we know how to manage conflict usually outside of the home because we're very politically correct.
Right.
But inside the home, we're not. Everything is fair in love and war, right?
Like we've said in the past, it seems like the realest you or the worst part of you gets shown to your family, you know, because you trust them, because you love them, because you know they love you. And it's just for whatever reason, they arise or bring out the best and also sometimes the angry side of you.
So one of the main reasons for divorce, although you may think it's cheating, it is up there, but it's conflict resolution. And it can be with money or it can be with family members. Yeah. It's not having correct conflict resolution. And that's because instead of having correct conflict resolution, we fight dirty.
Right.
So honestly, there's not even a reason to say why we fought, because it doesn't even matter. Like, the fight became so much worse because we didn't handle it correctly.
Right.
And honestly, I'm really disappointed in us that we're making the same mistakes that we have been for the past 10 years when it comes to fighting. Because we are. I could look at both of us and say, dude, we did that day one. Mm-hmm. And we've had amazing training and we've had amazing mentors and we have an amazing word of God and amazing sermons. And yet when emotions come in, we go right back to what we know or what we knew or what we learned either before counseling or before Christ or before each other.
Yeah. Even just over the years, we've learned a bunch of stuff just even by ourselves and by learning from our mistakes. And yet you still find yourself making the same mistake. And part of me thinks like, yes, you're right. And being able to say like, same mistakes we've done over the last 10 years or whatnot, that's completely right. But at the same time, that's the same thing as digging into the past and somebody bringing up something that happened, you know, let's say your husband got drunk or whatnot, and then hasn't gotten drunk in X amount of time or whatever. And then you bring it out, you're a drunk. It's basically what you're saying.
I don't agree. Because did he get drunk today?
Yeah.
Then he's still drinking and the issue is still today. I'm sure like if he got drunk and he, I don't know, yelled at you or threw everything around in the house, his drunkenness brought consequences that you're like, dude, last time you got drunk, there was all this mess in the house. Man, why didn't you at least drink outside the house? Why did you not drink?
Right.
Why did you take 3 drinks less?
But is he a drunk? If he fell that time or if he messed up.
All I said is that we made the same mistakes we did last time. I didn't call you anything. I didn't say anything.
That.
I said we made the same exact mistakes as we did 10 years ago. I'm not saying we're the same couple, which is what you're saying. I didn't attack our couple. I didn't attack our marriage and say we are the same couple. I said we made the exact same mistakes. If I could look at us, both of us, and say, whoa, we did that 10 years ago, which is true.
So I think that that's where a lot of this starts happening in relationships.
Yeah.
Is that people are trying to say something and they probably have the best intentions, even though they're saying something hard. And then the person receiving it takes it as the worst intentions, which is sometimes like that, where you're saying like the situation is the same way it was before, but I'm hearing you are this.
I didn't.
You
say
are
that.
You're not saying that, but I'm saying that that's where it goes bad. And that's why this dirty fighting starts, is because a person feels attacked, even though you or the other person isn't necessarily trying to make them feel attacked. They're just trying to state a fact or something that happened. And I think that that's where a lot of our stuff goes wrong. And a lot of it is personal stuff, where it's like, I have to be mature enough to listen or hear something and not take it as an attack.
And I wasn't attacking you. Just to make it clear, I was not attacking you at all. I said we.
I know. I understand that.
Okay.
I'm trying to get to the point as to why that kind of stuff happens.
Okay.
And so then the other person, that's when I or the other person would then go back and attack you. And then that begins the dirty fighting. Because for a situation that had to do with something, it ends up being about just each other going back and forth, or just me
about something like the way you said it, the way I said it, the way I meant it, the way you meant it, the way it hurt me, the way that's exactly it. That's why it goes from a situation that happened to a full out blown fight that can linger on for months and months and months. And that's one of the first things I want to start off. So I'll give you the order of how I thought this podcast would go, is like the effects of dirty fighting.
Mm-hmm.
What mistakes you make in dirty fighting, and then what not to do or what to do next time there's an argument. Because you're going to get in another argument. There's going to be a different conflict. The marriage isn't ending here.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to realize first. You get into a really huge fight and a lot of people are like, that's it, we're done. And you even say it. And that's part of dirty fighting. It's that threat. It's that, and maybe it's not even a threat. Maybe you want it to be done, right? But you're only thinking now.
Right.
What you have to start deciding in a dirty fight is, this really isn't the end.
Mm.
It really isn't. I promised I would die with you. And I made that decision, you would think 8 years ago, but I have to be honest, because we've been married 8 years.
Right.
I made that decision like 2-3 years ago, 2015, when we took each other back.
Right.
Like, this is a man I'm going to die with. And it's crazy because there was no one there. There was no white dress, but I made a vow. And that vow, I've tried to keep it. Even after making that vow, I still fight dirty. Mm-hmm. I will say things like, I want a divorce. I'm tired of our marriage. And that's wrong. So dirty fighting, let's start with number one, has really bad effects on your marriage.
Yeah.
It can take away, first of all the sweetness of it. Do you remember when we were first dating? There was just this sweetness, this saying nice words, this elevated terminology, terms of endearment, going the extra mile for each other without being asked, receiving the gifts. Well, I always had an issue with that, but even then, you know, receiving gifts and just like, oh my God, he just loves me. He did it just because he loves me. All that can be wiped away with dirty fighting.
Yeah, dirty fighting. I remember words got taken away. Terms of endearment got taken away because of dirty fighting in our relationship.
And we've talked about this in other podcasts and we're working on it. But now that we're in a dirty fight right now, I can't imagine him calling him the things that rey or dear. I don't like it when he calls me baby during a dirty fight. I'm like, no, don't say that. And so maybe I'm wrong for even saying that, but I don't like to feel like, don't call me baby when I'm not your baby, when you don't treat me like a baby.
Right.
You're treating me like a full-blown enemy.
Yeah.
So I like to keep the terminology really real of what I'm feeling in that moment. And so anyway, it can really wipe that away. So say the fight ends, which it will. Eventually you're going to stop. Hopefully you stop being mad and let go of resentment. That's another podcast.
Yeah.
So say there's at least peace in the home. Like, oh, we're not fighting. But then you're not doing the terms of endearment anymore.
No.
And how do you get that back?
Yeah.
Right? And then you don't even know how to talk to each other anymore. So it's not that you're not fighting, but maybe you're just not, you're communicating the basic stuff of like, got to go pick up the kids. You're going to go, oh, thanks. Wash the car. Cool. Thanks. Here's your meal cooked for you. Oh, thanks. But there's not this, dude, I hope you enjoy it, man. Yeah. I hope you really love it. I genuinely
There's not a
do.
Unity. There's not a bond. There's not a connection.
And then there's no deep communication. Say, because of the dirty fighting, I'm feeling really undelightful. I'm not going to tell him like, dang, I had a really bad day and I was really rude to someone. And I said sorry to them, but I still feel like, dang, Rosie, you took it too far. I can't be vulnerable with you in that sense because you hurt me in that word. So now who do I tell? Like, oh, God, you know, I should be able to tell my husband, you're my best friend. But because I can't tell him, I'm going to go to another girlfriend and then she becomes my confidant, which is okay. Having friends is amazing.
Great.
But no one more than your husband.
Yeah.
So that vulnerability is gone.
Now that is the key thing is to have that communication, have that unity, that deepness between you guys. Granted, there were times in our lives where we didn't have it at all. And so, yes, she did have a confidant in her brothers or her sister at certain times and stuff like that. And that's understandable too. But, I mean, all these consequences happen because of stuff that you truly don't mean. Like, when you tell her or when you tell him, I'm mad at you because you don't clean the car or you didn't pay this bill. That's not fighting dirty. The fighting dirty is all the extra stuff that comes out aside from this fight of like, you don't do the bill. Therefore you are irresponsible and you're not this and you're not that. And then you go into even deeper and you go into now just offending them as a person, as a character when you don't mean it. And then obviously the name calling and stuff like that, comes out from this, that affects it too.
I actually had a list. So I think you're right. But we can start with attacking the person rather than the action, which is what you mentioned at first. And that's totally true. It all starts with an action, right? One of us did something wrong. Both of us probably did something wrong. Yeah. Or one did something wrong and then the other did continue to do something wrong. So action, reaction, right? Instead of talking about, in dirty fighting, you start talking about the person rather than the action. Like you just said, okay, I'm mad that you drank today rather than you're a drunk.
Right.
See, there is a difference there of saying, you know, when you drank today, you got home super late and you just start describing the action and you drinking scares me or you drinking causes, you know, sadness in me. It seems like we're backslidden and obviously this didn't really happen. So no, Abel does not drink. That's why I give that example because everyone knows he doesn't. And then all these things are broken, babe, and the lamp is gone. And that was my favorite lamp, dude. And I'm really sad about it. Uh-huh. And instead of going on that, which is the way conflict resolution would go, in dirty fighting, we go into you're a darn drunk. You always do this. This is what you do when you drink. You don't care about me. And then it's like, you are selfish. You are an a-hole. You are blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So those are mistakes that I make in the sense that I'll call him a bad word, which is a different one. But I try and stay in the action because I know that attacking a person's character can be really damaging to the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one. So, two, the name calling, right? So when you start attacking a person's character, you go into name calling and that's something that I do. When I think Abel in the dirty fight, because by this time it's not even about the action anymore. That's just you and I. Like it goes straight from the action to attacking character to now we're just fighting about what you said two seconds ago. And then it's a huge snowball that gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So then I go into name calling, which is of course completely wrong. And I tell you with shame, I know I don't look ashamed. I'm very embarrassed because, you know, I'm a preacher, but I won't pretend to be perfect. Jesus is still working on me. I'm 10 years into this relationship, so I am genuinely disappointed in myself. And to be honest, I only do it with Abel, just to be flat out honest. Like I can't even, I have fixed that in every other area. Cause I was the girl that if I was fighting over a parking spot, I'd go to the B word immediately. I don't know that girl. I don't know if she's a B, but I go for it. Right. I don't do that anymore. And I don't know why I do it with you. And then I'm like, God, I shouldn't have gone there. So sometimes when we're fighting, I'll be like, sorry, I said it, bad word. And then we continue fighting and I try not to say it. And then it comes out again. Or sometimes, honestly, like yesterday, I was just like, I'm just going to say it. I'm going to be loose with it. I was so mad.
Yeah.
And I really wish I hadn't. So don't do the name calling because your couple can really put it on and keep it on.
Yeah.
And be like, you know what? She just thinks I'm an a-hole. I'm an a-hole. And that's it. And maybe I should act like one, which is even the worst part.
Yeah. And it's not even only the bad words, like the obvious bad words, but stuff that can be offensive, like, oh, you're an idiot or you're stupid or you're slow and stuff like that. All that stuff can be damaging. You got to just be careful with all that stuff. I know people that just, there are people just aren't as fast as other people. And then when you make them feel dumb for it, it's like, oh, and they know that they're not as fast as other people. And it's like, that really hurts. And then you calling them a princess or a reina or un rey or whatnot, that's what takes away those good terms.
Yeah.
Is the bad terms that you say back at them, whether if it's the B word or something as like non-bad word as you're an idiot or you're dumb or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Anything you are. So, and then... Because people really believe you.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're really mad at me, I believe you. I believe what you say. So when we started the podcast, you said it's stuff that you really don't mean, but I felt that you meant it. I really do. Like when you say stuff like that, it's hurtful and it's painful. And then I don't know what to believe anymore when stuff is good. And I'm just, you know, I'm just like, he's being nice. Or right now, this second, I'm nice, but... He really knows I'm not that. So you get lost in who am I because you're my mirror. And if you tell me that I'm something, that's what the mirror is saying.
Yeah.
So it can trick you and that dirty fighting can really have an effect on the other person that you don't want to have an effect. You really just want to get over the fight or just say, I didn't mean to do what I did and I wish I hadn't done what I did. But now I'm over here. We're discussing not what I did that could have lasted 5 minutes of conversation. We're talking about damage for years ahead. And I know that's what gets you mad. And that's what you get more mad is because it's causing more damage. And you think like the action wasn't even worth it. But my thing is like, we should have talked about the action and stayed there. And some actions, most actions do have to be talked about so that they're not repeated again. But by this time, I know that you're mad and you're like, we shouldn't even be talking about the action because now it's causing damage in our marriage for years to come. So, dirty fighting really, really can. And I just want you to know that there's hope. We're still here. If it had been for dirty fighting, we would have broken up 3 months into the marriage. So there's still hope. We're still here. We're not perfect, but we are getting better. And I'm amazed we can even do this podcast.
Right.
Because there have been times when we have been mad. And I think once we didn't do a podcast.
Well, we've done it a couple times.
And then
we just don't record or something like that.
Yeah. So
usually, well, sometimes when we have a rerun, it's probably because of that.
Sometimes you're busy.
Yeah.
Which has been rare. I mean, you guys will let us know. I'm sure they'll put it in the comments and it's okay. We love it. Accountability is great. Okay. So then there's obviously the yelling, which is usually starts with me and then you'll probably do it after. Yelling is just so, other than disrespectful and all that, you know, because you know, it's just so anti-productive.
Yeah.
What's the word?
The Bible verse is harsh words or something like that. And that kind of equates to yelling. Will stir up or bring out a haughty or something spirit or something like
anger.
Yeah, but like a soft smooth voice or something like that will really like calm a person down. I gotta find the verse. I don't have it off the top of my head, but you know what I'm talking about, right? So I mean, it's like it's you yelling is just, or just people yelling, you know, can really bring an atmosphere to the fight. Yeah. And that can just change everything for the worse.
Okay. So, but you know that. I just want to bring up how yelling is so anti-productive. I don't know what's the correct word, but the fact that you're trying to, hopefully you're still trying to find a solution.
Right.
Which is another mistake people make of wanting to be right rather than finding a solution.
Yeah.
That's like the beginning of dirty fighting. Is you either want to be right in that, why didn't the action that I did wasn't even wrong, right? Mm. Like, why can't I have a couple of drinks? It's not wrong. You really probably believe that, which is probably, it's probably even true. Like, okay, a couple of drinks would be okay. Sure, have a glass of wine, whatever. But the other person feels that two drinks leads to 3, 4, and 5.
Right.
So that's why it's like, okay, if you would stop at one. So we're not even arguing about that yet. We're arguing about, I'm right though. 3 is enough. And you're like, get me that. Yeah. And we're giving you an example, chill out. But it's like, you guys, I was looking at the camera saying, chill out. I wasn't telling Ava to chill out. We forget that there's an actual podcast. I always think that we're talking to our YouTube and Facebook fans, friends, followers, listeners. I was telling religious people to chill out, because then I don't want anyone to ever say that you're a drinker, babe. It's just an example. But anyway, what we're saying is that, now it's, I want to be right, and that's it. And I'll, at all cost, do what I got to do and say what I got to say to prove that I'm right.
Right.
Whether, even if it does hurt you, even if at the end you are crying, even if we don't talk for 3 days, but I'm right. And that's so damaging to marriages, because maybe you are right, but you still lost big time. Because now you lost connection, communication, you hurt your wife's feelings, you lost sex for at least a few days.
That's just completely true.
You know,
because when you're right, and you fight to win being right, like, you really don't win. You get this sense of pride for a second, but then you just look around and you see that you destroyed and you burnt down your whole house and everything is just terrible.
And obviously you're not doing it on purpose. I'd like to think you're not doing it on purpose. Like, when it's the heat of the anger, the heat of the argument, the heat of the emotion, honestly, it's pride. Pride comes before every fall. So if you really want to be right, it's usually pride that's like, I got to be right. He has to know, she has to know that he was wrong and I was right. And that pride, when it's gone, you open up your eyes and you're like, oh my gosh, was it even worth wanting to be right? What did I want him to say? You're smart.
Once you start fighting to want to be right, it's like you just gain this tunnel vision and you can't see anything else but you being right. But you don't see all the disaster that's going on. You don't see the bigger picture and how you can fix things. So like, you're just looking straight forward into one goal, which is being right. But you don't see that everything around you is really burning down when you could be saving it.
Yeah, so dirty fighting. Catch yourself when you want to be right rather than truly finding a solution. All right. I have one more before the break. And it's really damaging.
Go.
Sarcasm.
Oh.
Sarcasm has never, ever, ever. Tell me one time, listener or babe, when sarcasm has ever helped find a solution. But then again, tell me how much damage sarcasm can do.
Right.
Sarcasm, it's like a go-to for some people. Maybe all of us. I don't know. Maybe we're trying to be the comedic relief in the middle of a bomb. I don't know why sarcasm exists, but it is one of the most damaging things, because you used a nice word to describe a bad word. So then what happens with that nice word the rest of your life?
Right.
And then it can just really, really bring out anger in other people.
Yeah.
So, dude, just avoid the sarcasm, period. Sarcasm is good for jokes. Never, ever for an argument. It's really demeaning. So don't be demeaning for the person or even the things that they like. That's a mistake that I make.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're little. Like, don't use the word little. Your little friends, your little guitar, your little whatever. Or the person. You know, maybe women have that. I don't know. Maybe men too. But being demeaning, making someone feel small, doesn't make you big.
It's the same. I think sarcasm and demeaning are in the same family, where the whole point is to let them see how they are not something, or it's not big, or it's not valuable.
But I think sometimes people do it so that they feel better about themselves, or to show the other person, you're not better than me.
Yeah.
Or, you know, so anyway, we're going to go to the break and then come back on really, really, there are solutions and you can make a change by not continuing to fight dirty. So we'll get that after the break. You guys know that I'm a speaker, a teacher. I love the word.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find more of those spiritual snacks on my YouTube channel, Rosie Rivera. Go ahead and have your daily word.
And remember to... And rem...
What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
I just... You guys subscribe.
And remember to subscribe.
All
right, guys, welcome back from the break. We are talking about fighting dirty and how we do it. We've done it and we just did it. And that's why we're here. And that's why we want to bring it up to you guys, because it's something that we're going through now and something that was very damaging, something that wasn't worth it. And we just want to help you guys and how we see it. We're actually still in the middle of it. So it's not like we like got through it and now we want to share with you guys.
Yeah, I know. It's
the beauty of it.
We're still going to have a talk after, I imagine. So, I just don't know when. But I'm at least proud of us, because I have to have a list because then I'll forget. But I'm at least proud of us that we're here. Mm. This podcast is truly happening. I think this is the second or third one we do upset. And people really loved the other one. They were just like, that's the Rosie I want to see. I'm like, why? Why you got to see me mad? I'm genuinely happy when I'm happy. But when I'm mad, I'm mad. So anyway, there is a solution. There is something that you can do, even if your partner doesn't fight dirty. Because I know the first thing that they're going to say is, well, I'm going to stop fighting dirty, but my partner's going to continue.
Right.
You're probably right. Yeah. You're probably right. But what we can do is somebody has to start it.
Right.
Somebody has to start making a change. And you usually do that by example. Because we can sit here all we want and tell you these solutions, but you're going to have to put them into practice. We're going to have to put them into practice. Next time we get in a fight, one of us is going to have to do this.
Right.
And so you make a plan. I make this plan in my head before the fight happens, because if I would wait for the fight to happen, I wouldn't want to do any of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully you're not in a fight right now. But if you are, if you know that there's going to be some dirty fighting coming up when a fight occurs, at least you make a difference. So number one, apologize. We have the podcast last week, 2 weeks ago, was about apologizing, how, you know, and when. So you can listen to that one, how to say I'm sorry. But I'm so mad today, I didn't even sing. But obviously apologize. I think at least when you are going to talk to your spouse again after the dirty fight, let them know this is a solution. Like, I'm not even in that. I'm not a volcano right now. Mm-hmm. I genuinely come in peace. I want to talk. I want a solution. I don't want to be right. I'm even going to say flat out, I was wrong, right? So, and say, and be sincere about what you were wrong about. You could still stand by what you were probably, what was bothering you, but first talk about you.
Yeah.
So that's the first one. The second one is, don't say you, say I, because that's where the attacking comes in. You are. You this, you this, you that. The thing about dirty fighting is that you're usually talking more about the other person than yourself.
Yeah.
So when you want to fix the dirty fight, or when you don't want a dirty fight, you say I.
Right.
I feel, because maybe your feeling is wrong. And have you ever thought that? Like, yeah, you'd feel that.
Yeah.
But maybe your feeling is a little more based on how tired you are, or how stressed you are. It's that time of the month, or something that happened in your past, or maybe he is wrong. But just at least put it out there that I feel this and I'm thinking maybe I'm right, but I could be wrong. Can you explain to me? I feel that you said that word to hurt me. You brought up my past to hurt me. Did you mean to hurt me?
Yeah.
You know, so at least the words I think, I feel, focus on you, I am, rather than attacking your spouse.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you're fixing, hold yourself accountable. Know that whatever words are happening in that moment, God knows them. The word says that, the Bible says that every word that comes out of our mouth, we'd be held accountable to God.
Right.
Imagine if we thought that all the time. Imagine if it's like, oh, I'm only going to be good at church or outside the house, but inside the house, I can say whatever I want because Jesus isn't listening. Like, even jokes. So yeah, you can joke, but like not to hurt someone, not to demean someone. So God will be accountable because God loves my husband. Even when I'm mad at him, before Abel was my husband, you were his son.
Right.
So I have to remember that and be like, I am hurting. I am attacking a son of God.
Right.
He's going to hold me accountable. So be accountable and try and keep that in your mind. The Holy Spirit is in the room.
Mm.
Act like it. And I'm saying that for me because that's what catches me sometime where the Holy Spirit is like, I'm going to step out. Because you two aren't acting like I'm here.
Wow.
So hold yourself accountable because in a dirty fight, I'll bring that up against you. Be like, oh, you shouldn't talk like that. And Holy Spirit is like, well, what about you?
Mm.
You know? So hold yourself accountable and not only to each other, I mean, obviously to God, but I would say to each other, like, hey, chill out. Like, you know, you shouldn't be saying that word. All right, you're right, you're right. But I'm still mad. Yeah, you know? But also I think to other people.
Right.
Yesterday we were like in the midst of the fight and it was only getting worse. So I asked if we could call one of our care pastors. And thank God he answered and he was so chill. And his chillness just brought a chill in us.
Right.
So yeah, be accountable. You're kind of quiet.
No, go ahead. No.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you in everything in that. Honestly, the main thing is to really just fight yourself. Just to be really, really blunt with everybody, there's a lot of fighting that needs to go on within you when you're having an argument with your spouse.
What do you mean?
You have to really fight your urges to want to do mm-hmm. something that can hurt them or something that'll offend them as it offended you, whether if they're right or not, whether if they're right that you haven't taken out the trash in 2 weeks and it's always them or the kid or something like that that took out the trash and you're the man or whatnot, or that you overspent $50 for no reason at Target, but you thought it was a legitimate reason, you know, things like that. And it's a constant fight of having to really fight your flesh to want to respond and defend yourself or attack back.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing that I have to contribute to this conversation.
That's good though.
Is that I constantly find myself having to just fight myself and it's a battle of staying quiet. And then,
you know what makes it hard though, is that while you're fighting yourself, the other person's fighting you too.
Yeah.
So you feel like I'm really getting beat up.
Yeah. And you know what, before this podcast, the reason why she said, I'm delightful wife or something like that mm-hmm. is because she was talking and I just said, Rosie, you're delightful. And
but
then I
just really did.
And obviously that was sarcasm. And obviously that was hurtful. And that's just, that was me trying to fight myself. And that was it wasn't good, but that was the best thing that I could do rather than just pop off and go back at her or say something mean or even something worse. It's still hurtful. But even that, I was wrong in saying that. I could have said something else. I could have said, you know what, just stop. Just don't keep talking like that or don't say that anymore or something. But instead, I said that. I said it in a calm tone. So that was the best that I could do at the moment. But I still did it wrong in fighting my urges to want to say something back or say something hurtful or offend them back. You know, I find myself just constantly doing that. And I think that we just have to keep doing that. And yeah, you're right. They are fighting you at the same time as you're fighting yourself. You just got to find just a mode or a place where you can just really focus in on not doing more damage that doesn't need to be done.
So I think that that's a great point. Another thing that you can do to avoid dirty fighting is not see them as enemies.
Yeah.
You're not my enemy. Like, we're in this together. This is our marriage. This is our life. This is our discussion. We can find
our
a solution.
Problem.
We can find a solution, or we can see each other as enemies. And believe me, you have enough enemies.
Yeah.
The enemy is your enemy. The devil is your enemy. All principalities, all, you know, the things in the spirit world that are fighting against you. And granted, don't get discouraged. You have a cloud of witnesses and angels that are fighting for you, and Jesus Christ at the right hand of God, that is being your high priest, and he's interceding for you. But there's nothing worse than having an enemy in your own home. And sometimes we create those enemies. We make our partner our enemy. So after you've had the fight, and we're going to end with this, and you've done some dirty fighting, for next time, please really make those changes. But for right now, How are you going to get out of it? Well, you can replace all the negative things that you said. You know, like when you say, and this is an example that someone used, an illustration at church or something. When you say something against someone, it's like you took a nail and you made a hole in a wall, right? You took a nail and you hammered it into a wall.
Yeah.
So that caused pain and that caused a hole.
Yeah.
Well, when you're trying to find the solution, you take out the nail, right? Yeah. You're like, okay, I'm sorry. The I'm sorry part, right, which you genuinely mean, is taking out the nail.
Right.
But then there's this gap, this hole, this darkness. So when trying to find a solution after a dirty fight, you fill that with something.
Mm.
And you feel it. It's usually the opposite of what you said. You genuinely have to feel it though. Like you genuinely have to feel it because you can't BS your spouse.
Yeah.
You know, say you said you're stupid. Well, you know she's not. You know he's not.
Yeah, and you're saying, oh, you're not stupid. You know I didn't mean that.
You know, that, baby. That no, that doesn't work. It has to be genuinely like, you know what? I think you made a mistake, man. But I know that that's not you. I think you had a slip up in the moment. But I know that you're super intelligent in I don't know, whatever it can be that she or he does. Because they are. They're good at something. They're intelligent at something. I'm not good at numbers. But you know what? I can read the heck out of a contract. So it would be, you know what? In this case, Rose, you really slipped up.
Yeah.
But I shouldn't have even said it like that. I should never call you stupid because you're not. What you did was probably really ridiculous. You know, what you did was probably stupid, but I know that you're not. So you have to be really sincere, but really fill that gap. And the second thing is say it with the same passion. We've talked about that before.
Yeah, you have to really dig deep. You're mad. And yes, everything comes out a lot more heated and everything comes out a lot more harsh.
Passionate, angry. I don't know.
Like, passionate, I don't know if it's, I guess it is the right word. Passionate
could be like good but bad.
But it comes out with a lot more energy.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
For sure.
You know? And so when you say, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. I don't think you're stupid. Sometimes that doesn't work for everybody. You know, sometimes it can be a quick cleanup or a quick fix and you just saying that and that's it. But sometimes you just got to really dig deep.
The thing is, because you'd have to make me believe it.
Yeah.
So that's the hard part is that most people believe all the bad words, wrong words, attacking words, but most people don't believe the good words.
So see what happens when you say something that makes them feel bad, like let's say you're a bad mom. Or something like that, you know,
because
they didn't shower the kids the day before or something like that. And she sent them to school. All right. Obviously, you didn't mean that. You screwed up. Now that's staying in her heart. What you have to do is come back and not just say, oh, you're not a bad mom, babe. I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't mean it.
You have to come back. You're not a bad mom.
You have to come back and say, you know what? I'm sorry. You're not a bad mom because of this, 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 and this. Give them examples, because when you say you're a bad mom, you make them think that either what they're doing is not enough or you have not seen or acknowledged what they're doing.
Or worse, it feels like that's what he thinks all the time.
Yeah.
He's just, when he's nice, he's being nice, but the true person comes out when he's mad. Mm-hmm. And that's probably not true, but that's what it feels like.
Right.
So you have to let the other person know, no. It was a momentary. And what I know and what I see is truly this. But it takes some work, man, to make someone unbelieve something that you made them believe.
Yeah.
That's why we have to be careful with our words, because the work of unlearning, the work of unbelieving is so hard. And you just don't want to go through it.
Right.
So should we bite our tongue just to avoid that work? Yeah, honestly. Okay, and that's what I got. Okay, the last one. You have to make a different action next time. Okay, say the fight is over. Say it's fixed. You've covered up all the holes. You've healed all the places they've healed. You're even calling each other sweetheart again. Great. There's going to be an argument next time.
Mm-hmm.
From what you just learned, you have to hold yourself accountable and say, I'm going to do something different next time.
Yeah.
What is it going to be? Okay. Yelling doesn't work. What do I do next time so I don't yell? Okay, I'm going to just say, I'm going to get off the phone, man. I'm really losing it. This isn't helping. I need 5 minutes away.
Yeah.
And let the person go and tell your spouse, hey, man, like we were yelling, I was yelling. My plan for not yelling is to get off the phone. So please don't make me get on the phone. Please don't keep even texting. Don't, because I'm trying to spend some time with God and trying to chill myself out. So that when I come back, I'm not yelling anymore. And that's my step one to no longer dirty fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we'll have, you know, continue to take different steps, but you, and don't even like say, well, what's my spouse going to do? We're talking about us, you. What are you going to do? So make a plan and say, when I fight dirty, this is what I do. I demean. God, what can I do to not demean him anymore? What words should I take out of my vocabulary, period? Little. Okay, take that out.
Yeah.
And say, at least in the next fight, I will not. And then do it. Really, really do it. Maybe you make 3 or 4 mistakes in the fight, but at least there's a teeny weeny victory that you didn't demean. Yeah. And then keep, make that a habit. And soon it'll be going away.
Yeah.
But you can't expect your spouse to start. You are both equal leaders in your home. You guys are both equally important. You guys are both equally children of God. You guys both have a responsibility. So let it start with you.
Yeah, make the change. As she mentioned earlier, it's something that we've gone through, or that we've held on to, or that we keep doing over the last 10 years. And she's right. But it's something that you have to just continually make a change. And then once you make that change, you can't just give up there. You have to continue doing it. You have to continue working on it and not let it slip up, because it's honestly, you controlling your pride is a lot like losing weight. You never stop trying to lose or maintain your weight. It's not like, oh, you reached it and you're now mature enough to not fight dirty. No, your pride can always come slipping in. Your pride can always come through. You have to maintain yourself, one, with the Holy Spirit, and just really in the Word of God to be more like Christ. Because I think Kanye said it really good, that people tell you when you're not being Christ-like, but nobody tells you when you're being like Christ. Mm. And that's another topic or whatnot. But it's like,
that's super cool. Can you believe we just quoted Kanye West? Yeah. Something about God, like, just glory to God for that. I don't know what the Christian community is doing, but I just want to thank God that someone like Kanye West is so open about his newfound belief in Christ. So just glory to God.
Yeah. And it's like, you just have to really continuously focus on making sure you don't slip back up. Because you know what? We've had arguments. We've had a few of them where we do it right. And then we've had a lot of them where we don't do it right. And it's not that we got better or worse. It's that you just stop focusing on doing it the right way, or just certain things trigger you. And it's just a constant work. And it's not a bad work. It's not a bad word, because it's for the better of the unity of your marriage. It's not necessarily something that's going to fix everything, but it's going to draw you guys closer together. And conflict resolution is, like she said earlier, one of the biggest reasons why people get divorced in whatever it might be, because conflict happens in every aspect of life.
Yeah.
You know, but if we can resolve it better, or at least we can resolve the majority of them better.
Yeah.
This is ganancia, you know. I want to tell you that it's been 10 years. I know that you're tired of going through dirty fights or whatnot. And it's been both of us. It's been me reacting to something that I don't like to hear, or I didn't appreciate. And then it just becomes this big old other thing. And I don't want that to continue happening. You know, I don't think anybody does. And I know that it's something that can be annoying that we're here, we're this old, that we're this at this stage, at this level of our relationship, of our careers and stuff like that, and we're still having some things from the beginning of our relationship. But it's not okay. You know, I just want you to know that I don't think that it's okay. I don't think that it should be something that continues on. And I don't want to keep having these type of issues or these type of arguments or these fights with you like that.
I know. Believe me, I know. I know you, and I know your heart, and I know that you don't mean, that we don't mean to get into this situation. More than annoyed, because I am annoyed. More than annoyed, I'm disappointed in us, and honestly, I'm thinking we have a really good chance to do something for the kingdom, and we hold each other back. Mm. And that's what makes me really sad, because God elevates. It's from glory to glory, and you grow from glory to glory. You grow in faith, you grow in character, you grow in the way you handle situations, you grow in how you handle stress, you grow in how you handle conflict. And if we continue to let this stop us, if this is what happens every time, And it doesn't happen every time, but if this is what continues to happen, I don't want to think of what we've missed out on.
Mm.
Because, or the fact that we're ready, we feel we're ready. God, accelerate me. Mm-hmm. We're ready.
Mm-hmm.
We're ready to go. And then stuff like this makes me feel, no, you're not. Because would this happen if you were in Ecuador again or Bolivia? Yeah. Like if I send you to London or Spain to preach and you guys disagree on some little thing, I don't know, you didn't let me have a window seat. And it's, again, it's never happened. And it becomes a full-blown fight, like fight.
Right.
I don't know. I'm just really, I really want to fix this so that the enemy cannot use it to make us feel like we're being held back, or whether maybe we are. Can God give us the keys to a Z28 Camaro if we can't handle the power of it, the control of it? So I just want to show each other and God that, God, we're ready. We're genuinely ready. And when we do stuff like this, I'm like, man, are we? And it just makes me really sad because, dude, I'm 38. And I had a lot of big dreams for God, for me. And I don't know how much more time. And it's just, I'm not blaming anyone. I'm just saying me. I'm telling you, I was genuinely disappointed in both of us. And God can do anything. Moses was 80. Abraham was literally, his body was rendered useless in the sense that he couldn't have babies when he made a son. So God can do anything. I can be 60 and preaching. I'll be 70 and I'm preaching, but I don't want to wait until that time. Right. I want to continue doing it now with the power and the purpose and the anointing that he has for me.
Yeah.
So, thank you for saying that. Believe me, I know. That's why I'm just saying we have to make a different change. Like next time there's a disagreement, both of us have to really say, I'm not going to do this. It's not that I want to, or I didn't mean to, or I plan to. It's like, I refuse to do it. I am not going to do it.
Right.
And hold yourself accountable and hold myself accountable to that standard. It's really making a change. Good intentions seem real good. But if good intentions without action can be a sin, because there's sins of omission.
Yeah.
So good intentions gets us somewhere in this world, but I don't think it gets us very far in the spiritual world.
Wow.
Actions does. So
yeah.
I don't know. You know, that's just, hopefully it helped you guys, because it was very difficult to do, but I'm proud of us. Thank you for staying here. Thank you for really being present 100%. And we really pray that it helps you guys. If you're ever, please remember this episode. If you're ever in the midst of a dirty fight and it happens to be a break because you had to go to work, listen to it and maybe it can help you come right back.
Yeah. This is the power of us, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Hola, my name is Enrique Santos, presentador de Tu Mañana y On The Move. Quiero invitarte a escuchar mi nuevo podcast, Hola, My Name Is, donde hablo con artistas, líderes de nuestra comunidad y personas como tú. Mi meta es que juntos conozcamos más sobre los triunfos y las derrotas de mis invitados y que a través de sus historias nos empoderen y nos motiven a superarnos. Lanzamos el show con J Balvin, he's awesome, un artista colombiano que ha revolucionado la música latina y que sigue superando récords mundiales. Él nos cuenta abiertamente sobre sus inicios, el secreto de su éxito y los aprendizajes que lo ayudan a preservar su autenticidad. A partir de este martes 7 de abril, podrás acompañarme todas las semanas a conocer más a fondo a un invitado especial. Puedes encontrar mi podcast en la aplicación digital de iHeartRadio, la descargas gratis, o en donde prefieras escuchar tus podcasts. Hola, my name is The Podcast, a partir de este 7 de abril.